Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm Jen. Hi.
Hi. Okay. Amazing, amazing replay. Lisa Eldridge. I'm like literally, I'm bowing.
She's bowing. She's literally, you're actually not literally, you are physically bowing and we have a podcast so nobody can see you, just so you know. Everybody bow down to Lisa Eldridge.
Okay. Her line, this is an example of somebody who's doing it right. Didn't come out of the gate with like a ton of product. Came out of the gate with perfect products that were covetable, hard to find. But now she ships to the United States and each one is mwah, have to have. You know, I just want to say real quick, I was at dinner the other night with Kate and Rebecca and you know, I took out a lipstick. No, it's before.
Me, I know. Our listeners don't know your friends.
Well, you do now. Okay.
I feel like JY comes up a lot.
JY comes up a lot.
Chris, but Kate and Rebecca.
Kate and
Rebecca,
they've made an appearance. They've made an appearance today. So Kate and Rebecca are there. And I had on a Lisa lip. And Kate was like, what is that lipstick? And she asked, she was looking at it. And she asked like later into the evening. And I was like, well, do I have something to show you? I demoed the lip for like 5 minutes.
A lipstick?
At a table, like at, in like a nice restaurant, like at the QVC time. Cause it's, I'm that passionate. I just freaking love it. So we had to talk to her and it was a great chat. It was also like 900 degrees when we talked to her, I remember.
It was. And it was like
Peak pandemic.
It
was 2020. So that might make its way into the conversation and feel outdated at this point. But Lisa is timeless, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She's a makeup artist based in London. She's also a New York Times bestseller from her book, Face Paint, The Story of Makeup. I love that book. It talks a lot about her collection of makeup. She's a huge vintage makeup collector.
Yes.
She has been she is the global creative director of Lancôme. She's previously held creative directorships and worked on ambassador roles with brands like Chanel, Shiseido, Boots No. 7. And then, as Jess said, in 2018, she launched her own line. It is now available here. You're going to fall in love with her if you're not already and you want to go buy it. Now I'll put that in the show notes. You can actually buy it now if you live in the USA.
Worth it. Worth it.
Yes. Yes. So here is Lisa Eldridge.
Okay, Lisa, you have said in another interview, we did a little research.
Okay.
You love faces. And I thought that was a really interesting little quote. So when you look at a face, what do you notice?
Everything. I know that's scary for people who meet me, but I notice so much. I think that when I go to the art galleries, for example, I'm a weird person to go to an art gallery with because I just love looking at paint treatment and painter's treatment of skin. So like, say, for example, Lucian Freud, you go and you look at the painting close up and you see green paint, purple paint, red, yellow, green, white, every color in the rainbow. And then you step back, obviously, and you look at the painting from far away and then you see skin, a skin tone. I'm just so fascinated by that and by detail, color in eyes, the way light reflects on a face. And this is something that started when I was really, really young. So I just see, I guess, a lot of detail. I think it's probably a bit like when you've got a newborn baby and the way you look at them, like every detail. I'm a little bit like that with faces. And it's not a critical thing by any chance. It's more, I just see so much beauty in faces and I just love, I just love faces. I can't really explain it any more than that. It's just something that I've sort of been born with, really.
So when you approach a face, how do you kind of decide what you want to play up? And I'm thinking about mm-hmm. our listeners, you know, they, you know, look in the mirror every morning. They are, you know, for the most part, really into makeup and color. What can they take from this? You know, how can they kind of look at their face with a less critical eye? I love that you said it. You know, you're not looking at it with a nitpicky eye. You're looking at it with this really like in a beautiful appreciation.
Yeah, definitely.
How can they kind of borrow from you?
I think what's hard when you look in the mirror is that you're looking at a very static image, your static two-dimensional self. So you're just looking and maybe you're honing in on the problematic areas or the things that you think are problematic. Whereas when I see a face, so when a model or an actress sort of arrives at the studio or whatever, I'll be sort of almost studying them as they come in. And I'm starting to see things like I'm seeing, oh, the way that highlight naturally caught her cheek just then. Or, oh, that top lip shape, so beautiful. And I'll sometimes be almost saying, hi, how are you? And I'm saying to my assistant, get the so-and-so product out because I'm already seeing like what I can really enhance and what I can beautify. And I think in terms of your listeners, it is about, look at yourself in different angles, in motion, and seeing that the way your skin reflects light and how you can enhance that. And when you talk, how your lips are and how your, it's very hard to explain it because obviously you're looking in a mirror, it is a totally flat image, but it is about you need to look at yourself in a way that is kind and look at the aspects of your face that are really beautiful and wanting to play those up. And of course, makeup's amazing because when we've got a blemish or a spot, we can cover that. And I'm all for that. I mean, who wants a permanent reminder of a temporary blemish? But to anything else, I just think, play up the natural tones in the skin, even out the skin tone, but keep it so that it does look like skin. And then for eye shape, I mean, when people smile and when they're animated, there's just every face is incredibly beautiful when it's animated. So bear that in mind. Don't just look at yourself like with this horrified look, staring in the mirror in some awful bathroom light and say, oh my God, I've got lines under. Actually, when you're out and you're talking, nobody sees that. Nobody's interested in that. What people are seeing is passion. They're seeing, interest. They're seeing a sparkle in your eye. Of course, we all want long lashes and luscious brows and nice looking skin, but there's so much more than that, you know, to beauty. It really is. It's a much bigger world and a much bigger thing than that.
That's beautiful.
It makes me think of when you catch a reflection of yourself where you don't realize it's you. For that millisecond before you realize it's you, you could be so objective. And I find like I'm always like, oh, that woman's pretty. And then I realize it's me. And like, yeah. You're so kind. People are so much kinder to others than they are to themselves sometimes.
Definitely.
So
yeah.
That's good advice to try and bring that back to yourself.
I love that.
Another thing we've noticed about the way you work with makeup is this historical appreciation for the craft. Where did that come from? I mean, you already mentioned painters and going to art galleries. Is it that or where else?
I just think I'm a very curious person. I'm very interested. Like, I'm rarely satisfied with an answer. I'm like, I want to know more. So I think I got into makeup. My mom wore makeup and is quite glamorous. You know, she's still wearing a red lipstick when she's FaceTiming me at the moment. We went to my grandmother's house and I found in her old bedroom a lot of her old makeup from when she was a teenager, which I just found this makeup so interesting. And I was like, wow, my mom used to wear like all this makeup. And I started doing sort of face charts, but using the old makeup. And then I just got very curious after that about, oh, why did it used to be in like, why was that in a tube? Or why did that look like that? And I just started to want to kind of piece together, you know, I was interested in makeup. So I wanted to know why people wore makeup. What was the first makeup? Why did people start buying makeup as opposed to making their own? And I think as the more I kind of got into that world, and I'm someone that loves researching anyway, I want to be an expert, if not the world expert. If I'm interested in something, I'm annoying like that. And I just thought, wow, this is so interesting because it's not just the history of the products, but it's the history of the marketing and the materials and the societal and the cultural history and all of that, which I'm as interested in that as I am almost in the future of makeup, because I love cosmetic science. I love what makeup can be. And, you know, I love imagining how we're going to make ourselves up in 30 years' time. And I think for the minute I got my first job in product development, which was actually at Shiseido, which was a good place, obviously, to start. And I went to Japan and I think they probably thought I was so annoying because I was supposed to just design a makeup brand. And I was like, okay, you know, I want to go to all the shops, the small shops, not in central Tokyo, but take me into like the provinces. And I want to ask people why they're wearing this makeup and, you know, what do they like about it? And then I'd go to the labs there and I would be saying, well, you know, can we do that? And why can't we do that? And can you explain to me why that's shiny and that isn't? And then they'd be like, oh, it's just the volatile silicones. I was like, oh, tell me all about those. I'm just one of those people. I'm like, I'm probably a marketing and PR person's nightmare. To me, it's just the most interesting thing to know where something's come from. So even when I work for brands, like I like to know, even years ago, I'd say, oh, can I get into your archives? Like as soon as they'd want to employ me for something, I'd be like, oh, can I visit your archives? They'd be like, why? I'd be like, I just want to see like what you used to do and what you, you know, not because I want to copy that, but I think it's nice to have the full picture, you know, to see something 360. You want to understand where it came from, what it's done right, what it's done wrong, what it may be, you know, what are the key moments. And that helps you to kind of move brands into the future as well. So I've just always been interested in it.
It's a perfect combination of both. You mentioned the cosmetic chemistry of it, the history of it, and loving faces and seeing all these colors. Obviously, you're doing the right thing with your job. And you've said like you can see a face and know if it's going to eat makeup, probably because of the science of the products, but also what that person's skin is like. So many people can relate to this. Like, how do you know when we put on makeup that like, you feel like it just disappears in seconds? How do you know if someone has that type of skin or face?
We get that question a lot from listeners.
Well, there's two types of makeup eaters. So two types of hungry faces that I think anyway. There's the faces that can just take so much makeup. Like someone can sit down and you can put a tiny bit of makeup on them and they look so fully made up that like almost like you want to pare it back because, and then someone else can sit down, you start to do their makeup, you halfway through the makeup and you realize you've got to put way more on to achieve a natural look. And that's to do with having almost, some faces are a bit like blank canvases. So they'll sit down and I can spot it now, but in the beginning, like, you wouldn't realize how much makeup you could put on them and they can still look completely natural. Other people will sit down and they've almost got natural makeup on already. It's to do with their features. It's to do with the shading on their face. It's the physiology of the face and the structure of the face, which lends itself to natural highlights and contour already.
Lisa, are there any celebrity examples you're comfortable giving, like, of somebody who has, like, that kind of face?
So say a model like Karen Nelson, who's been so successful in fashion. She has, like, a blank, like a makeup artist dream face. You can paint and paint and paint. You know, you can do all kinds of looks. You can't do that necessarily on every type of model or every celebrity. Someone I've never worked with, but I'm just trying to think of a good example of someone with natural makeup would be somebody like Brooke Shields. You know, there's a lot of shading, there's lash, there's almost like an eyeline there already, there's the brows. Some people's faces just have that. And then there's the second category, which I think is what you're talking about, which are the absorbent faces. So they're the faces that you put on the makeup. I mean, it's not always people with oily skin tones. It can be just a particular type of maybe dehydrated skin or skin that you put the makeup on. It literally goes, it sucks in. And then you've got the face touches. So the people that don't even know, you put the makeup on, and they've already touched their face 1,000 times. And I say, don't touch your face. And they're like, sorry, I haven't touched it. And they're like touching their face all over. You know, and you'll be on a job and it's like, it's supposed to be a red lip and there's 3 models or there's 3 celebrities. You put the red lip, it's perfect on them. And then 10 minutes later, you're on set, you know, and someone's lip is absolutely perfect. The other person has nothing left. And you're like, what happened? They're like, what? What?
I'm that model. It's like food over here, red lipstick on my ear.
So they're literally, yeah, like eating it, touching it, whatever. So yeah, there's definitely like hungry faces and blank canvases and people in natural makeup. So there's a lot to be said about getting to know yourself, like who you are in terms of makeup and looking at your face in daylight and just figuring out what works for you and what doesn't. I think that the ultimate way to be your own personal makeup artist is just to get to know your own face, really.
So let's talk about your channel. Now, when we met, I think it was about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I remember that it was at a Lancome event. I remember you told me that when you were starting your channel, not everyone completely got it. They didn't totally get what you were doing. And I don't totally remember this exactly, but I think there was maybe even a celebrity in your corner who was saying, like, no, this is a great idea. Go for it. Tell me about, like, what the where the idea came from and what the perception of what you were doing was at the time.
Well, I think that I first got shown a YouTube video on a big sort of fashion shoot. And someone said, have you seen these girls, you know, in their bedrooms, they're putting on makeup. And it was really early days. And they kind of got it up on the screen and everyone was watching it in a bit like, oh my God, that's hilarious, sort of funny. I was like, instantly, that's punk. That's pure punk there. I mean, this is amazing. This is going to change. I remember thinking, I'm so lucky to be alive in this moment in beauty, because this is, I thought at the time, this is equivalent to what happened in the interwar years when makeup went from being something that only rich people, royalty, aristocrats could afford to being available to everyone. I thought this is like the biggest sea change I've ever seen in the industry. At the time, I thought it was on par with that. And now I think it's actually much bigger than that. And why did I think that? Well, if you think that like the early 2000s to probably the mid 2000s, was the height of the unbelievably retouched beauty image. You know, if you look back at campaigns from that time now, they look like illustrations almost. And there was a kind of, I remember doing ads and things, you know, working as a makeup artist, doing ads for beauty companies, and it'd be a mascara and it would be like crazy claims. Like, you know, I'd put a full set of false lashes on and this mascara's line would be, you know, we'll make your eyelashes look 27 times longer and, you know, 60 times thicker. And then you'd come on set and they'd be saying, oh, can you put more lashes on? I'd be like, what, another set of false lashes, put on another. So it was the height of that. And we'd just come out of that. I think like the Dove campaign had just come out. And so everything was felt like it might change, but we were still in that world. And then to see someone on YouTube, completely uncommercialized, incorruptibly sitting there in like no corruption, sitting in a bedroom with a mascara and saying, well, I tried that. And they said it was supposed to be 20 times longer, but actually it came off on me. I was like, oh my God, this is like a big finger. And I'm, you know, up yours to like the industry.
She raised a middle finger. You couldn't see it.
This is so like exciting. And I remember saying to like big brands at the time, you know, haven't you seen these girls on YouTube? Like they're talking about makeup and they'll actually say if it's good or not. So, and they'd be like, oh, no, we're a luxury brand. You know, it's nothing to do with us. That's so amateur. So there was this real like, there was such an unpretentious, authentic and earnest world of beauty being born at the same time that there was this like heightened level of marketing claims and retouching going on. So it was just so interesting for me. And I think, you know, that real amateur world versus the pro industry was so separate, segregated at the time. And most brands like weren't interested. They were, didn't even look at it. And for that reason, it remained uncorrupted or incorrupted for about 18 months. You know, it was such a pure, pleasurable world where everyone was truly themselves. You know, you had somebody that was sitting in their bedroom, someone, you know, Lauren Luke was there with their dog snoring in the bathroom. I was like,
oh, I forgot about her. Yeah.
No beauty brand can compete with this level of authenticity and trustworthiness. You know, just try, you know, and that to me was really, really exciting. So I just decided to start doing my own videos and, it was scary. I was so scared because I thought, oh my God, if the publicists see it, are they going to say, oh, we can't book Lisa anymore for A-list celebrity. She's on YouTube now. You know, it was such like a dirty word. Like it was such a like awful thing to admit. So I did it.
Yeah,
so
did you tell people? Were you were you at shoots and jobs? Like, check out my YouTube channel, you know, subscribe.
Never. I was so under the radar. Like I put my first video out and I thought, is that the end of my career? But I so believed in it. So I was like, I didn't think it was, but it could have been. And I kind of kept it quiet. And I remember about 2 years in, I did a really, really cool, like a really like cool job with like, you know, I won't say names, but like amazing photographer and I really like fashion stylist and hairdresser. And I kind of walked in and it was the stylist assistant went, oh, I love your videos on YouTube. And everyone kind of went in slow motion, like looked at me. And then I remember them saying, you do videos on YouTube. And all I could think to say was, I just said, yes, but it's not for you. It's for real people. And just like, start,
oh my God,
putting up my, like, I'm like getting all my kit up because I was so like, oh my God, like the secret is out. And like, there was actually, I was working with Kate Winslet and I just remember being on a job with her. I think I was at a house and a friend of hers came in that I'd never met before. And she introduced me and she's like, oh, this is Lisa, you know, she's great. She says, it's my makeup. And she makes these amazing videos on YouTube. And I was like, oh, do you know about those? And she was like, yes. You know, she used another makeup artist in LA. She's like, oh yeah, my makeup artist in LA told me. And I know all about them. I can't believe we've never spoken about them. And I was just like, it was like a relief, actually. I thought, well, I've always believed in it and I think it's really good and I love it. So it's just nice that, you know, it started to become recognized in that way. So, that was how it sort of happened, really.
So this is a really nice segue into my next question. So I do a lot of reading in my private time. And right now I've been very interested. I love this author, Tara Moore. She's actually like a speaker and everything. And she talks a lot about she's like a coach. She's fantastic. And she talks a lot about how women and self-doubt gets in their way of them kind of becoming their most actualized versions of themselves. And I, you know, you've kind of already answered my question, but I wanted to know, you know, kind of how you plowed through that, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this kind of narrative in your head. And were there other times where self-doubt came into your mind during your career? And this is just kind of on my mind a lot as women go through different parts of their careers, or not even their careers, just like in their lives, because
you have this incredible career. I mean, it really is, I feel like I'm blowing smoke right now, but it really is spectacular. You're not just a makeup artist or somebody who created a line. You really have a very unique imprint in the industry. But here you are kind of on set, like, oh, you know, don't look at me. Sorry, you know, I'm embarrassed about this one point. That's insane to me. And I'm sure it's insane to our listeners right now. So how did you really push through that?
Well, I believed in it in myself. So that's why I wanted to push through. And I think I'm somebody that I quite like to be scared by something. I've done it time and time again. And I don't really know why I do this. I'm sure there's a psychologist that will tell me, like, you've done that for this reason. I've never looked at it. But, you know, when I had this feeling, I want to do YouTube, I believe in it. I think it's a sea change moment in the beauty industry. I was never not going to make videos. And I think if you really believe it deep down, I mean, all the self-help people will say, if you believe it in your gut, and I've not trained or read any books about that, but I just feel like if you feel it in your gut and you believe in it 100%, it will definitely work out, whatever happens. I've always felt that. I mean, it might be really tough. It might take a long time. There might be lots of people giving you, you know, telling you to give up. There'll be people telling you you're not good, whatever. If you really believe it and you think it's the right thing to do, then you have to do it. You have to. It's your calling. It's what you're supposed to be doing, and you have to do it.
I love that. I also love the fear thing. I actually turned down a job recently because I was like, this doesn't scare me at all. And that just seemed like death.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's no growth in it.
And I feel like some people are like, oh, if it's scary, then you shouldn't. But I think it actually is the opposite. You're right. I'm thinking about your viewers now as they watch your videos, and of course, picturing Kate Winslet is one of them. Now she's just now your everyday viewer for me. But how would you describe your relationship with them? Because, you know, over the last 6-7 years, you've developed a rapport. Why do they come back to you? What are you offering them?
I think they know that I'm very, I don't get my head turned easily by new products or people telling me, like, you know, this is the latest thing and it's amazing. If it's good, I'll decide if I think it's good or not. And if I believe it's worth sharing, then I will, but it's not a given. I think they trust me. I mean, I do get that time and time again. We trust you. I've never done any sponsored content ever, which at the beginning was people like, oh, why are you doing that? I was like, well, it's not what I'm involved in YouTube and social media for. It was, you know, I'm a makeup artist, I've got a job. This was something that I wanted to use to talk about makeup and to really get together with like-minded people. And, you know, I've learned so much from my viewers. And I think that there's just something about talking to like-minded people or helping people and enjoying makeup for the pure joy of it. No other reason. I've got nothing to sell.
What's your most popular video today? Sorry, I didn't check the YouTube count before we got on the line here.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's usually the no makeup, makeup look, the pinpoint concealing technique, flawless complexion, sort of that kind of thing. And I think that also when I did that one about, it was like a trailer for my history book. It was like the best and worst looks. And I've got all the different looks from all the different eras. That one's really popular as well. So there's a lot of complexion.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honey Love, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honey Love came along.
Honeylove Superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
So for our listeners who love beauty, but they, you know, don't feel as confident as maybe you do doing your makeup every day. So that's a lot of us. What's something that anyone can do that you feel always looks great? Is there a kind of like foolproof? Maybe it's like, you know, a great blush or a quickie smoky eye. What can anyone do to look fantastic every morning?
For me, it would definitely be the thing that you can say to pretty much everyone is evening out your skin tone, whether it means just covering a bit of, you know, a few broken capillaries, a blemish, or some pigmentation is a no-brainer, because instantly when you look at your face, even if it's only in one area of your face that you've concealed, you're immediately, you know, your whole face is brighter and clearer. And so something like that. So a good concealer, good skincare, good concealer. And then most people, when they're looking at you, they're not studying, only me, but most people when they look at you, they're not studying every area of your face. They're looking at your eyes, you know. I mean, people look at your eyes. They maybe look at your lips while you're talking. They go up and down. They're not looking at that thing at the side of your face there that you've been staring at for days because you think it's like so unsightly. No one's looking at that. No one cares, honestly. So it is about really just bringing out the natural beauty in your skin.
I have to ask about this concealer for broken capillaries, which is my thing. Like, I have all those little red things. What concealer do you like to use for that kind of thing? Sorry, I'm interrupting. Got to get some help for myself here.
No, actually.
Because people always talk about under eye concealer. That's not my issue. My issue is the redness in capillary. What do you like for that?
I think that you just need any concealer which has got a good amount of coverage. So although you're not going to use it all over your face, you need pigment. So there's no point using something that's supposed to be a highlighting concealer. No, forget it. You need something with heavy duty, and then you use the tiniest amount and almost like your...
Are we talking like Sensual Skin Enhancer, like Kevin Aucoin heavy duty, or not quite there?
It could be that if you're quite experienced, because you need to really thin that one out. But something like just a really heavily pigmented, I'm trying to think of like different ones. I've got so many in my kit. It could be like a Laura Mercier. It could be like a camouflaging one from Lancôme in the tubes. It could be NARS, the, you know, in the tubes. Anything which has a good amount of pigment. And then just dot it on like in a really small way, and then just start to blend, and almost you're pushing it into that area and then blending around the edges. And it's just something that is going to cover it, and you're going to be left with some kind of a natural skin tone at the end of it. So you don't want something which you're then going to powder, and you're not going to powder the rest of your face, because then you're going to have a really almost, you know, kind of matte area, which is going to emphasize it more. So it is just about working it into the skin, really in synergy with the skin, something heavy duty coverage, but thinned out.
Got it. It's good advice, because a lot of people just think, oh, this one's nice and sheer, and they layer it on, then you see the concealer.
Yeah, because it's got so much of it, but no.
So don't be scared of those really powerful concealers. No. Just use them very sparingly.
Just got to think about people that, if you've ever watched like old masters being retouched, like old, you know, the people who retouch all those incredible paintings from like the 18th century.
Oh, yeah.
They use tiny brushes, tiny amount of thing, and they're almost like tapping it on, and they're reviving the paint, and that's how you should approach it.
Oh, patience. That's such a great analogy.
Use like the tiniest, even like eyeliner brush to apply it. It's like retouching.
I'm picturing the guy in Ghostbusters, the movie. Remember the art restorer
yeah.
that was in Ghostbusters? Like, that's going to be me with my my capillaries tomorrow morning.
That's
I took
so
us
funny.
Off topic, Jess. You had a question, right?
So, okay, Lisa, you are not somebody who I would describe as a controversial YouTuber, Lisa Aldridge. You are not the Jeffree Star of the YouTube world, but you are somebody who is, you know, both a makeup artist, and I know you wouldn't describe yourself as an influencer, but you are like, you know, a personality. Have there been any bumpy moments in your time on YouTube? Have there been any, you know, I would say even just as a podcaster, I've had moments where I have been, you know, less than thrilled with the response of something that I've said, or a challenge, just because I'm somebody who has put myself out there. There have been challenges and learnings. Has it been completely seamless for you?
No, not at all. I mean, I think when you put yourself out there, it is a brave thing to do, because anyone can say anything about you, and you have to have a very tough skin to deal with that and remember why you got into it in the first place, and, you know, try and think about the people that, you know, the majority of people that like what you're doing. So I think the whole drama thing is just, yeah, I mean, I've never really got into it. I think maybe when YouTube first became really commercialized, and I was quite disappointed with it, which was, you know, I had to sort of give myself a slap for being so kind of like pearl clutching and unrealistic to think that it was going to stay like unsponsored. And I think at that time I was a bit like, oh, I'm so over YouTube, but I got over myself and was like, you know, get on with it. And I've just not really, I just find it mentally exhausting. I think some people are just more, their personalities suit drama a bit more. Mine just doesn't, because I've got...
You think? I know many of those people.
I just feel like I've got so many things that I actually want to do. And to take up that much space worrying about somebody that said something about you, you know, I think my general kind of motto is, you know, you really, you win some, you lose some, you can't win them all. You can't please everyone. If someone you've never met in your life decides that they hate something about your face or something, it's not my problem. It's not my, I can't waste an hour wondering why they thought that, because it's not my issue and it's none of my business anyway. And I remember reading a book when my son was actually a toddler, and somebody gave, and he was really having a tantrum. And this friend was like, "Oh, read this book, Toddler Training." And it was quite an old-fashioned book even then, but there were certain things in it. And there was one thing in it which basically said that a performer needs an audience. And you can't perform without an audience. And it stayed in my mind ever since. And I remember thinking as I read it, and this is years before YouTube or anything, but I remember thinking, this book is great for me as a makeup artist. Because, you know, going in on set and there's always a performer and whatever. But if you don't give them an audience, there can't be a performance. So I've just, there's too many lovely things to be getting on with in the world. There's too much to learn about. We're not here for long. There's so many things that I want to know about, I want to learn about, I want to engage with. You know, just last night I said to my husband, just, do you think in our lifetimes a human being will land on Mars? And he was like, they will, but not in our lifetime. And I was like, when? Will it be in our son's life?
Just like, Lisa, go to sleep.
See, that's the sort of thing that I probably today will Google, when do we think we're going to land on Mars or something. And I could have spent all of that time engaging with somebody in drama. And in fact, I'd just rather know about other things, really. And you know, if you don't like me, it's fine. You can just log off. You don't have to watch my videos.
We do like you. And our listeners do too. Like you are seriously one of the most requested guests that we've had.
Oh, but that's nice. But
Jess and I have been dying to know this, and I've gotten questions from people too. When are we going to be able to get the lipsticks that are available, you know, over in UK here, please?
I know. Well, I'm working on it. I think that at the moment I've kept it quite small because they're really hard to make. And
oh, really?
They've been hard. Yeah. So I'm kind of only making those lipsticks once a year, but I am working on other things. So there will be.
What are these other things? Look, yeah, I've never seen Jess more excited. Look how excited she is.
Yeah.
Other things. I'm only getting excited if they'll be available to Americans. Is that kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, lots of other things and globally. And yeah, I'm definitely working towards doing a lot more. So.
Oh, that is so exciting. I mean, the pigments. I mean, I've never even held one of these Lisa Eldridge lipsticks, but you can see just from the screen, they are lush. They look like suede. They look so lush.
They're a bit like pastel crayons, you know, when they're just like pigment. Yeah, no, they're really pretty amazing. Absolutely.
This is just a very like logistical question. Can you have them shipped for a cost to the US, or are they not even able to be shipped to the US?
Oh, no. I have a fulfillment house in Ohio, actually, where they ship from in America. So you can get them.
Jess, I know what you're getting for your birthday.
Very excited. This is very exciting. Another really cool thing for people who watch Lisa Eldridge videos, and if you're not watching them, I do urge you to log on because they're fantastic. You have these incredible rings, and we're looking at them now, just even on the screen. The light catches them. They're like these beautiful stones, and you got so famous for them. You started your own range of jewelry, right? Or you made them on offer. How did this come about?
I've always loved gemstones, and I used to do like weird drawings as a child with wax crayons and drop water to make them sort of shine. And it's almost like an eyeshadow palette for me. Like when I look at different colors of gemstones and I put them together, it's like you're almost designing an eye palette. So I think there's really strong links between makeup and colored stones. And then I just started to one particular jeweler who just makes one-off rings. I'd been introduced to him when I was getting my engagement ring made because I wanted an old cut diamond, but I didn't want a vintage one. So it was the jewelry editor at British Vogue said, "Oh, meet this guy." And I met him. And then since then, he's traveling and he used to send me photos and say, "Oh, I'm in wherever, India or Nepal or wherever." And he'd say, "Look at this incredible stone." And I'd get rings from him, just one-off stones, one-off things, and I'd wear them in my YouTube videos. And then everyone was saying, "Oh, your ring's amazing. You know, I'd love to buy a ring like that. And I never thought to launch it as a brand or anything until I saw that two people had launched Lisa Eldridge rings, like branded rings, Lisa Eldridge, and two companies. And then I had to obviously ring them up and say, please don't use my name because, you know, all of that stuff. And then I thought, well, this is a bit silly. Maybe I should make some rings and, you know, I would really enjoy it. And it would be just the most beautiful hobby that I could possibly have, which is to think about stones, create stones, talk to people who cut stones, learn all about that world, you know. And I work with a gemologist with 40 years experience, and I've been to just to talk to him about the stones and the process, and I just find the whole thing really fascinating. And it's to learn about a new industry as well, and a new art and a new science, you know, as you're going through your life and you're older. It's just so lovely just to know about new things. And it's really, so far, people love them. And, you know, I'm really, really proud of them.
They're beautiful.
I have to ask you about what's in your kit because people want to know about products. But before I do, I'm going rogue with this question. Are you a tetrachromat? Do you know what that is?
No, I don't know what that
is. It's people who see more color shades than a regular human eye.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I might be. Ooh. I might be.
The way you talk about, first of all, the paintings, and then when you were talking about the gems, and then when you're talking about how when you were a kid, you would add water to colors and watch how it mm-hmm. different colors came out. I have a feeling, just from the way that you talk, that you might be one of those people that sees more shades of color than the average person.
Oh, thank you. It could be true.
If you like researching stuff, you should look into tetrachromacy.
I'm writing this down because I'm going to look into it. Even as a child, we used to like go out for a walk, and then I'd say, oh, look, the color of that door with those flowers, look how the yellow's popping out. And then people would be like, there isn't any yellow. I'd be like, yeah, because the purple in the doorway, look how the yellow, and they'd be like,
no, because most people don't see the world that way. I've always found them fascinating, people who have that, you know, that ability. So I think you should look into it. I think that's you.
Definitely.
So we have to ask, we know your kit is probably massive. I'm scared to imagine how many trunks you bring to set. You must have the biggest kit. But what are the items that you cannot live without? What is always in your kit?
Oh, God. Yeah, every job's different. So there's a red carpet kit. There's an editorial kit. There's different kits for different sort of things. And I think that I would always want to have like amazing highlighters, foundations. I mean, I was the first probably person that used to go on about Becca Shimmering Skin Perfector, the liquid. I remember when that first launched, I was like in heaven because I love that kind of realistic kind of shine on the skin. I've always loved Laura Mercier Secret Camouflage because you can do picture restoring with it, as we talked about earlier. I've always liked really good foundations that don't flash back and don't change color, which is quite hard to find. So anything from a Makeup Forever HD to some of the Chanel foundations, some of the Lancôme foundations, to things that I've just picked up in stage makeup shops and, you know, professional shops, theatrical makeup that I've used.
And what about mascara? We have to ask.
Oh, well, I've always been obsessed with Japanese drugstore mascaras. So I love Lancôme mascaras and Japanese drugstore mascaras, and that's it. Because I just feel like when I go to Japan, the regular $1 kind of mascaras are so good. It's crazy. It's just so good. I love, love, love Japanese technology for eyeliners, mascara, lots of things.
What's the Japanese mascara? I like a tubing mascara. Which one should I get? Is there a Japanese one like that?
There's so many good tubing mascaras of ones that you can get here. I mean, there's so many brands when you go to Japan that there's just, you know, everything from the...
I'm not getting to Japan anytime soon.
Okay, no,
sorry.
Really are not. So I would say, I mean, I do like the Sensai ones. And I absolutely love the DHC one if you just want really kind of defined lashes.
Oh yeah.
And then anything really. I mean, even like a Dolly Wink or something, which is just a very cheap kind of drugstore brand in Japan. They're all really, really good.
Oh, I'm going to check that out.
What about, I'm like very into just a neutral eyeshadow right now. That's very, it's pretty and soft, but gives like some definition. What are some of your favorite neutral eyeshadows?
I usually have big, obviously Z palettes where I take all my favorites and put them in. I've got a lot of the Choice Surratt ones because I really like, or Surratt Beauty. I like to be able to make my own palettes. And I like ones which have a little bit of shimmer in, but very low level shimmer, because I just think it works better with most skin. Not glittery and not pure matte, but something that almost looks matte, but has a little bit of shimmer, very low level.
What would you put on, Jess?
So I would use, you could use Unatra, which is one of his sort of taupey brown shades that has a little shimmer in, just to create that natural lovely bit of socket shading. Once you've got that, then you can add as much color, as much shimmer as you want. Once you've got the shape defined, then you can do whatever you want.
Okay, so we always end on a little speed round of questions, the five questions we ask everyone. So what's the first beauty product that you fell in love with? Very first.
Clinique. And it was, God, what was it called? It was a foundation for really oily skin. Because I had the worst oily skin and acne, and you poured it onto a cotton wool and you buffed it on.
It had a glass jar too. My mother used it.
And it was like a pore minimizing foundation. And that saved my life because I was so like oily.
That just gave me a flashback to my mom. Okay. Who's the celebrity you just know you'd be best friends with? I know you know celebrities, but like someone you've seen from afar and you're like, oh, he or she gets me.
Oh, God, who would it be? I've never met Angelina Jolie, and I'd love to meet her. I'd love to do her makeup. So I have to say her.
And then you'd be best friends afterwards.
Yes.
Okay, favorite indulgent snack? And be specific, please.
It would involve chocolate. I'll tell you what I had last night. I had some, they're actually vegan choc ices. What were they? Vegan Magnums. Something like that. It's like a salted caramel, chocolatey, nutty, anything like that. I love
ice cream bar. Nice. Okay, what song pumps you up
at the moment? Probably Dua Lipa. I love the album, and it's the one album that's keeping me going through this whole lockdown thing, because it's just so, yes, it's so earworthy.
That's the music we need.
Yeah, it's upbeat. I keep singing it all around the house. It makes you want to dance. Anything like that at the moment is just been a godsend.
Okay, and last question. What do you want to raise a wand to? That's what we do at the end of every show. We raise a wand to a product or something that we're loving right now.
And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say the Lagome.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
50 plus SPF because it's amazing. So that is a Korean brand. It's a factor 50, broad spectrum, but you don't get any white flashback. You don't get anything like coming through your, even if you put your foundation on, it's like a perfect primer because it's so hot here at the moment. And it's just, it's so beautifully done. I thought it must be a nano because when then I looked in the inkies, I was like, oh, it's not even a nano. It's amazing. So that I'm really, I think that's going to be my hero sunblock of the summer.
Okay. Maybe it'll be ours too. Sounds good. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lisa. This is awesome.
Thank you so much. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.